Thank you, choir. That was lovely. That's the kind of music that in this season creates a sense of anticipation. We have snow on the ground and greenery hung and all of these things that cue us in that the seasons have changed. We're lighting the Advent wreath. Christmas cookies are being baked. We're thinking about family gatherings. We anticipate. And in all of those things, we know pretty much what's going to happen. Not so with the one whose birth we celebrate. Our anticipation is never big enough. So we'll see as we read in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, the story of a young woman named Mary. We'll begin our reading at verse 26. Let's pray together before we read God's Word. Lord God, your word has changed our lives. You've made it come alive. You've brought its good news into our hearts. We've just begun to hear how good it is. So Holy Spirit, come today. Expand our capacity to hear the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Move in our hearts so that we can respond most readily. And we pray in the name of the Savior. Amen. Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've heard it. Now let's see it.
Thank you.
There are a lot of reasons to like that video, but the reason it caught my eye is that it's so very human, so very ordinary. We put Mary in stained glass. Our Catholic friends put a crown on her head. In our minds, Mary is anything but ordinary. But I guarantee you that is not how the first readers of Luke's gospel pictured her. So I like how the video portrayed her. An ordinary girl, just like Luke described her, a teenaged girl from Nazareth, this little village up in the northern part of the Holy Land. Archaeologists have dug around beneath Nazareth and have determined that in that era the village had about 500 people. So everyone knew everyone in Nazareth. Probably for a girl of that time and place, the biggest trip she'd ever made in her life was down to Jerusalem for festivals, about 100 miles away. In that era, few girls had the privilege of going to school, so there's a pretty good chance that Mary didn't even know how to read. And even if she could read, no one had any books in the homes. She was certainly not wealthy. No one in Nazareth was wealthy. There were tradesmen and shepherds. Listen again to Gabriel's greeting to her. He did not say, "Greetings, favorite one." Now maybe she was favorite to her mom and dad, but only in an ordinary daughter sort of way. She was not favorite to anyone else. She was not an honor student. She was not a celebrity. She was not Miss Palestine. So the angel did not say, "Greetings, favorite one." He said, "Greetings, favored one." She was given favor out of the blue. In fact, the word that is translated in our English as favored here is a form of the word grace. Greetings, graced one. A most ordinary girl was found by the Lord out of the blue and graced. Now, I know most of you fairly well enough to know that you're ordinary people. Of course, you've had privileges that Mary never had. You've traveled. You're educated. You've seen the world. In our generation, we have literally seen the world. It pictured from out of space, outer space. We have our own Bibles. Mary had none of that. But that doesn't change the fact that you, even with those privileges, are ordinary. It's the only flavor we come in, ordinary. So what happens when the ordinary is met by the extraordinary? Well, Mary is our test case here. She was met by Gabriel, an angel. How extraordinary is that? And then he spoke to her. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." That's extraordinary. The Lord. The Lord. The one who created the heavens and the earth, and who delivered the people of Israel from slavery and sent the prophets, that Lord. But Gabriel wasn't done. Every word he said to Mary was extraordinary. He said, "You're going to conceive and bear a son without a human dad, by the Holy Spirit overshadowing you. He's going to be Son of the Most High God, and he'll be a king like David, only he'll be a king forever. And your baby will be holy like God himself is holy." How is that for extraordinary? And we forget just how extraordinary it was, in part because we forget how ordinary Mary was. But think, this was a standard issue teenage girl being met by an angel announcing that God would use her as part of his plan to change the world forever. In our day, some people respond to the extraordinary part of this good news by trying to make it more ordinary, by trying to trim it down to size. And so some modern biblical scholars who don't believe that with God everything is possible, who believe that the miracles are just myths, well, they've tried to explain away the extraordinary parts of this story. And so they'll say things like, we know that in fact Jesus really had an earthly father because there is no such thing as a virgin birth. And we know that if Jesus healed anyone, it was only by the power of suggestion. Or maybe it was just the way his followers wrote the story to make sure everyone knew how amazing he was. Or they'll say, we know that people don't rise from the dead. Dead is dead. Jesus' followers simply found a poetic way to describe his significance. Now, there are 1,000 variations on that theme. What are they doing? They're trying to trim the extraordinary down to ordinary size so that it's not such a shock to our ordinary systems. Or sometimes they take another approach. They say that Jesus was just one of several founders of the great religions of the world, that his teaching is basically the same as all the great religions of the world, that all of these paths eventually lead to the same place. Trouble is, these objections don't account for what happened to Mary. Look at the course of her life. Something extraordinary happened to that teenage girl. And you can read the stories of others in the New Testament. Something extraordinary happened to Peter and Mary Magdalene and Priscilla and Aquila and Paul and Silas. There's no other way to explain the course of their lives. And then look across the centuries of the church, St. Francis and Harriet Tubman and Mother Teresa. And we could go on naming names. Down through the ages, ordinary people have been met by this extraordinary one that Mary bore. And his extraordinary impact on their lives has changed the course of their lives and through them the course of history. Millions and millions of such people cannot have their lives explained in ordinary terms. The only way you can make sense of such lives is to realize that as ordinary as they were also highly favored, greatly graced, just like that girl from Nazareth. They were met by the extraordinary. And we've been so met ourselves. So how do we respond? Well, rather than cutting the extraordinary down to size, what if we encounter Mary's baby in all of his extraordinary beating? How would we do that? Well, there are a number of examples in the Scripture of people who did just that, but it's hard to beat the one that's before us this morning with that teenage girl from Nazareth. By God's grace, she responded to the extraordinary in three ways that point for us. First, Luke says, she pondered. Listen again to verse 29. Mary was very perplexed by Gabriel's words, and she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. She pondered. That means she thought about it. She tried to understand what was happening and what it meant. Now, she was ordinary, and meeting a talking angel was extraordinary. So she thought about it. And it's easy to skip over this, but let's ponder on her pondering. One of the capacities your Creator has given you is the ability to think. It's part of what it means to be made in His image. Because you're created in the image of God, you can assess and explore and probe the meaning of things. And then when you're highly favored, when you're greatly graced, that ordinary gifting is expanded to an extraordinary capacity. In other words, you can begin to take in things that are beyond you. And it's not like Mary took it all in at once. It's not like she ever fully understood the mystery she met, not even close. But she could ponder on it. And so can you. You can ponder on what it means that God has sent His Son, and that Jesus brought truth and love together like no one else ever, and that He died and rose for you. That's enough to ponder upon your whole life. It's not like we have full command, full understanding of such mysteries, but with Mary we can ponder. So don't carve God's extraordinary work down to the size of our ordinary understanding. Don't dismiss it. Ponder it. Then the next thing Luke tells us Mary did was to question. She said, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" She asked how this extraordinary could crowd into her ordinary. I mean, she didn't know a lot about biology, but she knew enough to ask, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" Good question, Mary. Think with me about this whole business of questioning. We've all had seasons when the questions we asked weren't really questions at all. Teenagers are famous for this. "Why can't I? I'm not a baby anymore. Why are you treating me like a baby? None of my friends have to put up with this. Why should I?" Sometimes our questions aren't really questions, they're just objections. And actually, it's not just teenagers. In every season of life, things happen to us that we don't like, and we cast our objections as questions. But really, they're just objections. And we can ask God these objecting questions. He's actually very patient, but He understands which questions aren't really questions. And that was not the kind of question that Mary asked. She had a real question. The kind of question that naturally comes when our ordinary meets the extraordinary. How can this be, since I'm a virgin? We have an understanding of how life works in our ordinary lives, but when we encounter the extraordinary in Jesus, then these paradigms for our understanding no longer explain things as we've encountered them, and so we have real questions. Some of our questions arise from Jesus' extraordinary teaching. And so we end up asking things like, "What do you mean I have to forgive Him? I mean, think what He did to me. How can I possibly forgive Him?" That's a real question. You can ask the Lord these kind of questions as you try to wrap your mind around the teachings of Jesus. And then some of our questions arise from God calling us to be Jesus' people abroad in the world and gifting us to minister in His name. And so we end up asking things like, what do you mean I can pray for the sick? I mean, the people who stand up front in church, they can pray for the sick, but me, are you kidding? I mean, how could that be me? That's a real question. As the Lord calls you beyond yourself to be about His ministry, those are the appropriate kinds of questions to ask, because His extraordinary changes the ordinary way that life works. And so with Mary, we can ask, and the Lord answers. Maybe not in a way that resolves all of our questions right then and there. I mean, that's how it was with Mary. Listen again to Gabriel's answer. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and that's how you, a virgin, will bear a son." Now, that was true, and that explained it. So do you think Mary said, "Oh, now I get it"? Well, not at all. It was still beyond her until she experienced what He was describing. And then she could look back on what God had done, how He had brought the extraordinary into her ordinary life, and she had one of those, "Oh, now I get it" moments. Ever had one of those? It's what happens when the extraordinary crowds into our ordinary lives and we don't have the means to process it, but having experienced it, we look back on it and we understand. And so we ponder on these things. And when they're beyond us, we question. Mary was met by the extraordinary, and she did both. And she did one more thing. She yielded. She said this, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." She yielded to the Lord. When Gabriel said, "Greetings, highly favored one," he wasn't kidding. I mean, this was an ordinary teenage girl. She had no way of knowing how this was going to come about, how it would impact her, how she would make it through. And yet here she was just a few moments later in the place of saying, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." That's stunning. But that's what the Lord intends when he highly favors us, when he gifts us with his grace. He graces us in our ordinary way of being so that we can respond to his extraordinary way of being. He gives us the means to respond. That's how you came to know Mary's extraordinary son in the first place. He enabled you to respond to the extraordinary good news. When he calls you, then the world as you've known it before is suddenly turned on its head. Everything works differently than once it did. But that he also graces you to respond. He brings you to the place where you, ordinary you, can respond to his extraordinary goodness in your life and his extraordinary callings upon your life in the ways that this ordinary teenage girl did. So that you can come to the place where you say, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And he does it not just at your conversion. He does it through the course of your life. Over and over. Just as he did with Mary. And that's, think about what we know of her story. The extraordinary in Jesus would stretch her not just with an expanding belly for the next 9 months, but with an expanding spirit for the whole course of her life. Think on these stories. There was the time when Jesus was 12. And Mary and Joseph found him in the temple, teaching the teachers. The extraordinary wasn't finished stretching her yet. And then there was the time early in Jesus' ministry when they were at a wedding. And she wanted him to help the host because they'd run out of wine for the wedding. And she was stretched still more by the extraordinary sign he did of turning water to wine. Then there was the time when she was stretched to the absolute breaking point as she saw him breathe his last on the cross. And then there was the time several weeks later when she was stretched again as the spirit of her son filled her and those in that upper room with her on Pentecost and launched her into a whole new way of living the extraordinary life of Jesus. And those are just some of the episodes across Mary's life where her ordinary was met by his extraordinary, and each time her life was never the same again. Ordinary friends, you and I have been met by that same extraordinary and will be met again and again through the course of our lives. Our good Father has favored us so that we might respond as Mary did. So let's take Mary's prayer. Let's make it our prayer. Would you say it with me? The words are up there on the screen. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." You cannot find a better prayer during Christmas than that prayer. I want to repeat it with you several more times. And as you think you know it, I want you to close your eyes and let's say it together. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. let it be with me according to your word. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. You've prayed it. We've prayed it. The Lord fully intends to answer the prayer you just offered. Amen.